through 31. God said, "See, I have given you every plant yielding seed that is upon the face of all the earth, and every tree with seed and its fruit. You shall have them for food. And to every beast of the earth, and to every bird of the air, and to everything that creeps on the earth, everything that has breath of life, I have given every green plant for food." And it was so. God saw everything that he had made, and indeed it was very good. And there was evening, and there was morning, the sixth day. The word of God for the people of God.
And now hear this reading from the Old Testament, from the book of Job. I'll be reading from the 12th chapter, beginning with verse 7. "But ask the animals, and they will teach you, the birds of the air, and they will tell you. Ask the plants of the earth, and they will teach you, and the fish of the sea will declare to you. Who among all these does not know that the hand of the Lord has done this? In his hand is the life of every living thing, and the breath of every human being." This is the word of God for the people of God. It happened years ago, but I still remember that meal. We'd all gathered together around the table. The table was brimming with food. We all sat down, and then somebody said, "Let's say grace." And then everybody said, "Grace." And then they dug in. It was not the kind of grace I had expected. But it made me think, grace, more than just a prayer that we pray over food, is also a word that expresses God's radical gift of love. Grace may be a way to give thanks, but it begins with God, creation, and yes, food. It's all connected. Food is a big part of our lives. Well, just look at the grocery stores in Richmond. We have one on every corner, the mega Kroger's down the street. I understand that Aldi's, first of three grocery stores, just opened on Perham Road, and Wegmans has broken ground. And then with all the great restaurants, I think Richmond is now known as the foodie destination on the East Coast. We eat a lot. We enjoy our food. But let's admit it. We don't make the connection with God and food very often. There are many meals we eat for which we never say thanks. There are plenty of plates which get wolfed down without the least thought about where the food came from. And rarely, while we're enjoying that meal, do we ever think about the people who have little or no food to eat. So today, let's stop and say grace in our own way and consider these three things. First of all, food may well have been the first gift that God gave us. Did you listen to that reading from Genesis? First of all, it's a wonderful story of creation that unfolds day by day. And first we hear about light and darkness, the sky, the dry land, the sun and the moon, the living creatures in the sky and in the sea and on the land are created. And finally, human beings. But right in the middle of all of that, in that first chapter, stuck there before the living creatures are created for the dry land, and before, after the sun and the moon are created, God says this: "Let the earth put forth vegetation, plants yielding seed, and fruit trees of every kind on earth that bear fruit with seed in it." That's where the apples and the oranges and the broccoli and the celery and the blueberries and the strawberries and the arugula and the spinach and the green beans and the corn and the avocados and the wheat and the rice make their appearance. Now, when the sixth day is almost complete, God says to the man and the woman, "See, I have given you every plant yielding seed that is upon the face of the earth, and every tree with seed in its fruit. You shall have them for food." Our first gift is food. Food is a tangible expression of God's love for us. A theologian has once put it like this: food is God's love made edible. God cares for us. And out of that care grows an amazing array of fruits and vegetables, grains and beans that are not only delicious, but they're nice to look at. And they sustain our bodies. They give us life. As the world has grown smaller over these last 10 or 20 years, we have tasted foods that our parents would never have dreamed of. Kiwis, clementines, quinoa, delectable diversity from the very hand of God. Food is a gift that Jesus also offered his disciples. Do you remember that story when Jesus, after his resurrection, went to the Galilee? And on the seashore there, he helped his disciples take in a boatload of fish. And then at the shore, he prepares them breakfast, apparently. He's there, the coals are burning, the fish is on the fire. And he says to them, "Come and have breakfast." What a gift. We cannot live without food, but God has also made eating food a joy, especially when we share it with other people. We laugh about it, but it seems like every time we come to church, we're eating something or drinking something. But it's a good thing. It's a wonderful thing. Food brings us together, and this too is a gift. So, now this is a question with an answer. When someone gives you a gift, what do you say? Very good. We say, "Thank you." When we understand that food is a gift, even if we've fixed it ourselves, we are thankful. And there are many ways to say thank you. One of the ways, the traditional way, is you bow your head, close your eyes, and out loud, if you're with others, or silently, if you're by yourself, you say a prayer of thanks. If you're with other people, maybe you have the tradition of holding hands around the table. Or you might leave your eyes open and look at the people at the table with you and say, "I am so thankful for you and for this food and the chance to eat it together. What a blessing." Or you can think about all the people who helped get the food to your table and thank God for them, like the farmers and the truck drivers and the grocery store clerks and the cook. Or we can say a prayer like this one. Would you join me? "God is great and God is good. Let us thank God for our food. By his hands we all are fed. Thank you, God, for daily bread." Sometimes we sing the Johnny Appleseed song or maybe the doxology for a blessing. But at least we can pause and simply say grace. For food is a gift from God. Second, food is good. God saw everything that God had made, and indeed it wasn't just good, it was very good. There is nothing better than a tomato that is still warm from the sun shining on it, ready to eat. Or a strawberry so red and juicy and sweet that it melts in your mouth. Sometimes I will pick a leaf or two of lettuce as I go out my house into my car to come to work. And though I love ranch dressing, There's something very appealing about eating food straight from the garden. It hasn't been very long since we as a culture grew our own food or we knew who had grown it. And while farmers' markets are popping up more and more, most of us still do not know where our food has come from. It's usually been on a long journey through a long process that leaves it looking not very much like what it looked like when it was first harvested. This is all in the name of improvement and convenience and, yes, profit. Even though God called it very good, we have done everything we could to make it better. To pick up a package in the store, you might find the words new and improved, though it is not necessarily better for you. We've taken out the fiber and the nutrients to make food softer and whiter and richer and sweeter. And then we've added some of that back in to make it more healthy for us. Food grown in California or in South America has been engineered to stay ripe for weeks so that it can get to our tables and we can have tomatoes in the dead of winter. Seeds have been genetically altered so that they can produce more and more crop and be resistant to pests. Cows are supplied extra hormones to make them grow faster and to produce more milk. And scientists are uncertain what effect these modifications will have on human beings in the long run. Our lives are so busy, still, we need our food to be fast. And though we're looking at labels more and more than we ever have, there's lots more on those labels. And what happens to our food remains a mystery to most of us. So, how can we reclaim the very goodness of God's creation? Here are a couple ideas. Try planting at least one thing if you have a yard with sun, if you have a yard and it has sun. A tomato or squash plant or lettuce, and just see what it does. It might actually grow. In fact, it probably will. And if it does something, then eat that tomato or that squash or that lettuce leaf with joy and thankfulness, intentionality, savoring every bite. It's a connection that Native Americans have made from the very beginning. Try to imagine what the Navajos meant when they said, "My great corn plants, among them I walk, I speak to them. They hold out their hands to me." If you can't grow a few things, find somebody else who grows food and buy some from them. Or go pick your own blueberries or strawberries. There is nothing more satisfying than knowing where at least a few of the things on your plate have come from. And the great news is we're just now starting a season where all of this is happening. Yay, spring. You can do some reading. You can be informed about food production. And then you can speak up if you feel that's necessary. Because God made food, good food, very good food. Third, food is for everyone. When God gave the plants and the fruit trees, it was for all living things. There are people on this earth who are hungry. And while things have improved significantly in the last 10 years, still 805 million people, that's one in nine, are undernourished. And some of them will actually die. Many of them will die. It's not that there's not enough food in the world. It's that they don't have the money to buy food or enough land to grow food or the systems of distribution are broken. Malnutrition and undernutrition are also a problem in the most prosperous country in this world, where in the U.S., as much as 25% of the food we buy is wasted. There are people in Richmond, Virginia, who are hungry. This is not what God had in mind when the world was created. Now, we know that here at Providence. We know that that's not God's intention, and we are trying to do something about it. Every week, because of your generosity, 13 children at A.M. Davis Elementary School take home a backpack of food for the weekend. Thanks, Mike and Wendy, for spearheading this project and others of you who purchased the food. Every Friday, every third Friday, 200 or so people are fed from the kitchen at Centenary United Methodist Church downtown by people from Providence. Thanks, Janice Bergeron and your crew, for doing this for almost 30 years. Every month, Linwood and Shirley Hudson take bags full of staple food that you have donated to the Chasm Food Pantry. Thank you, Shirley Linwood. And every winter, before spring even begins to let us know that it's coming for sure, the Mission Garden crew is outside getting the soil ready, planting peas and radishes, and then lots of other things to share with local ministries. Thanks, Joe, Paul, Morris, Jimmy, and all the rest of you who are going to start getting your hands dirty. We need you. We need to get connected to many of these ministries so that they can expand and grow, to make sure that food gets to everyone and no one goes hungry. And on top of this, there's Shalom Farms. Some of us will be going on Saturday to this ministry of the whole Richmond district in Goochland County. Listen to this goal that they have. Their mission is to collaboratively transform the Richmond food system so that all people have access to good food. They are growing, last year it was 80,000 pounds of fresh vegetables and fruits. And volunteers like us and others who benefit from them go and help and learn. And then the food is brought into Richmond. Some of it is sold at food stands that young people are taught to operate and to manage. And others of it is distributed in our inner city so that folks can have fresh and healthy food. Phew. That's a lot to say grace over. But thankfully, God already has. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.